For more now on the Whitey Bulger story, we're joined this morning by former Boston Globe reporter Dick Lehr, who co-authored the book Black Mass, the true story of an unholy alliance between the FBI and the Irish mob. Dick Lehr is now a journalism professor at Boston University. Good morning, Dick, and thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob.
Dick, let's go back and talk about Whitey Bulger and his involvement with the FBI. How did it begin?
Well, it began when the FBI went after him. John Connolly met with him and talked him into helping the FBI in their fight against the Angiulos and the North End Mafia.
How did Connolly find Whitey Bulger?
Well, I don't think it was too hard. Both John Connolly and Whitey are sons of South Boston. They had had dealings their entire life. John Connolly was much younger than Whitey and had grown up in Southie in awe in many ways of this rising crime boss, Whitey.
How did Connolly turn Whitey into an FBI informant? Is that how it worked?
A couple of things, you know, historically, and we're talking back in the mid-1970s. First of all, Whitey's partner, Stevie Fleming, had already found that working with the FBI could be very beneficial to life in the underworld. He had been working with some of Connolly's predecessors. And John Connolly followed up on that, realizing that, you know, Whitey Bulger is potentially the biggest game in town. And he played off his South Boston relationships. He played off his boyhood connections. He started a series of meetings with Whitey and persuaded him that together we can get the mafia and it's not so bad. Eliminating the competition and helping us get them, and, you know, in a way we can be friends in all of this.
At the beginning, it might have been Connolly's idea to control Whitey Bulger, but in the end, Bulger ended up controlling John Connolly.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the historical, you know, the one of the storylines that has played out over the years as all of this has come tumbling out is how quickly Whitey Bulger came to control the FBI, a small crew of FBI agents in Boston, compromising the organized crime unit and basically turning the FBI into his own, you know, secret service agency watching his back.
In your study of Whitey Bulger for the book a few years ago, Black Mass, what do you think you learned about Whitey back then that might have prepared him for this long haul, being a fugitive on the run for almost 17 years?
Well, I think a couple of key things that happened to him is he did do prison time once before as a young man and as a bank robber, and when he had a more flamboyant lifestyle. And I think in prison he learned that if he ever, you know, he wanted to not return, I mean, he had to calm down, and he became an extremely disciplined crime boss and gangster. Very smart guy who could always kind of stay one step ahead of people. That was one key thing. The other key thing is that even though he ends up in California, which, you know, that's still in the States and it's 3,000 miles away and whatnot, he traveled frequently as you know, through the years and became very comfortable with living on the road, so to speak. So I think that was great preparation. He wasn't a neighborhood gangster, you know, whether it's Chicago or Detroit or anywhere else, who once he left the street corner was lost at sea. He was an experienced on-the-road gangster.
Well, what do you imagine life was like for Bulger on the run?
Boy, I hope we find out. It's anyone's guess. I mean, again, I think his discipline came in. I think he was extremely low-key. He had to be to have survived this long. It's going to be fascinating what unfolds in the days to come in terms of both his life as a fugitive and whether or not we're going to find out more information about his control over, you know, over so many people and so many events for so many years in Boston.
You know, your book, Black Mass, is not only about Whitey Bulger, but it's also about his younger brother, Billy, the former president of the Massachusetts State Senate, very powerful man up on Beacon Hill, later the president of the University of Massachusetts system, now retired from that job. We have not heard from Billy Bulger this morning on the arrest of his brother, Whitey. What do you imagine is going through his head this morning?
I can't really, you know, go there. I wonder if we'll ever hear from him regarding this. In the interviews that we did with Bill Bulger many years ago for the Boston Globe and for our book, he clearly was a brother's brother. He had real affection for him. One can only imagine that he just hopes for the best somehow in this, and now that he's finally been captured, whatever that might mean.
Do you think we'll ever know whether or not they were in communication while Whitey was on the run?
I don't think so. I think it has been established, you know, again, earlier on that there was some contact, but the extent of contact over all these years, I don't think that's the kind of thing that's going to come out. Maybe it will. I just don't think it will.
Dick Lehrer, let me ask you about the FBI. There were a lot of people in the greater Boston area over the years who thought that despite the FBI putting Whitey Bulger on its 10 most wanted list, and every now and then staging a news conference where it said, and then every now and then staging a news conference where it announced its latest strategy aimed at looking for him, there are a lot of people who thought that the FBI never really wanted to find Whitey Bulger. Are you surprised that the FBI actually has now Whitey Bulger in custody?
Well, I'm surprised that he's been caught. I mean, it's obviously clearly one of the biggest news stories, crime stories in memory, that Whitey Bulger has finally been captured. And you're getting at one of the great water cooler debates of the last decade and a half. Does the FBI want him, or are they trying to protect him? I mean, it goes back to the corruption of the FBI that Whitey Bulger managed for so long. You know, and the other big question was Whitey dead or Whitey alive? Well, we've got some answers now. He's alive, and the FBI through its most recent effort, it has led to his capture. I think the main point is that ever since Whitey Bulger, hit the road, based on a tip from disgraced FBI agent John Conley, there's been a huge cloud over the office, the Boston office of the FBI. Maybe now that cloud will start to lift for the reasons that you are getting at, because there is always debate whether the FBI really wanted him or not.
Well, do you think it's washed itself, its image of working hand-in-hand with Boston mobsters years ago with this arrest of Whitey Bulger?
I sure hope so. I certainly, again, it's been 16 years. There's been, a turnover in personnel, in practices. Hopefully, hopefully we've seen the last of this kind of culture, because I think the damage and the horror of the Whitey Bulger story is that we're not talking about one case that was compromised because of, impropriety between an agent and a gangster. We're talking about a way of life that went on for several decades that a lot of people lost their lives, law enforcement was compromised, undermined. I mean, the damage has been really, incalculable in many ways.
Dick Lehrer, former Boston Globe reporter, current Boston University journalism professor, and author of Black Mass, the true story of an unholy alliance between the FBI and the Irish mob. Dick Lehrer, thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition today.
Thank you, Bob.